Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Dr. Kate calling live from the Continental Congress 2009 in St. Charles, Illinois. It's a very exciting meeting that's being live streamed on givemeliberty.org. And I'm here with my guest this evening, JBJD. Thank you. Are you there? Are you there? There we go.
Okay.
JBJD, there we are.
No, I had to call back.
My apology.
No, it was me.
My
apology. I had to call back.
Okay, anyway, hi, everybody. Sometimes these snafus happen. You know, I can drill a well for you, but I have a very hard time operating the computer. So thank you all. We've been working very hard here at the Continental Congress, so I've been up, and I literally was a day behind. I've tapped JBJD a note yesterday and said, oh, I hope you're ready for our show tonight or tomorrow. And she said, oh, no, it's tonight. So thank you for coming back. But we're going to pick right up again. We've been talking about basically 2008 election fraud. And this is a very serious matter in the sense that we believe that the only way Barack Obama got on the ballot was through election fraud. So tonight we have our specialist, JBJD, who has been hard at work for more than a year on this. These are thought pieces. This is not something you can pick up a law dictionary or a law book and figure out how to do this. And it's tedious work, and I just want to take a second to commend her for everything she's done on this subject, because to me, it's extremely exciting. So tonight, we're going to briefly summarize basically the rationale and the approach of approaching the problems of 2008 general election through really the prism of fraud rather than constitutional qualifications. Let's put that aside, the whole Article II eligibility issues and so forth. This is basically how you get on the ballot. And to explain the kind of complaints that there are out there for election fraud. Then JB will probably lay out the facts for you as to why it led her to believe that she was on the right track and to take the track that that she's going. And then we are fortunate to get to the point where she can suggest for us some ideas on where to go. And throughout the broadcast, we'd really like to invite questions from listeners. You can call into the show. Also, you can chat and so forth. The show number is 347-838-9176. So at this point, JB, JD, I'd like to have you go ahead.
Okay, I think it's so typical that you would describe the process as so boring and pedantic. You have to look. It's not something you can just look in a law book, and it's not something you can just look in a dictionary. And then you say, but it's thrilling stuff.
Well, you know,
it is.
I guess
thrilling.
I got to get a life somehow.
No, it is thrilling. And I listen to my voice in the podcast, and I'm thinking, how on earth, after all this time, all this frustration, all of these tears, all of this anger, how can I still sound so upbeat and excited about this stuff? And it's because, and several of my readers of my blog have come to this same point, it's because I understand what was done.
Yes, and that's why
the frustration of not knowing. Yes, what happened still angers me. Yes, I'm still outraged, but I've lost the frustration of not knowing what you did or how to address it.
Excellent point. Excellent
yes.
point. The not knowing is very true.
That's what was killing people. They not just not knowing, but I heard everyone's frustration. It was, I don't know what to do about it. I know something went wrong. I don't know exactly what, and I don't know what to do about it. So that compounded the injury. Do you see? So
yes.
I at least could take away the frustration of not knowing, because I think anyone who has either read my blog or read my comments all over the blogosphere, people have said, people have commented, the prolific blogger, JBJD. I thought, well, she's either prolific or she's a teacher who has the summer off, which was the case, you know. So if you've read my blog or listened to what I've said on your show, Dr. Kate, it's pretty clear you can trace the fraud. There's really no more point in discussing whether there was fraud. Of course there was fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense would have told us this at the time, but the fraud was so incredulous. It was incredible. Who could believe this? So we dispensed with our own common sense. Do you see? Rational people said, no, there must be something else. And there wasn't. It was exactly what it looked like. And it hit me. I'm one of the first people I remember or recall seeing. I'm one of the first person that hit. No, there is no there. This is exactly what it looks like. They're going to pull this off. And I was saying that in the summer of 2008. That's why I was frantic. I thought, oh, my God, they're going to pull this off. And you know who came to that conclusion 2-plus years before I did? Bob Bauer, Nancy Pelosi, David Axelrod. They were 2-plus years ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. So they had everything in place, and then it hit me, and I only had literally days to try to stop them from doing what they planned on doing for 2-plus years. So I wanted to just clarify something, and I have to tell you, I haven't been working as hard on these issues in the last few days as you have been with your group, with which I'm not affiliated, but I took a temper tantrum a couple of days ago.
Huh.
I did, Kate. I'm sorry. But somebody wrote on another blog, we should get all of the people who are trying to, I use the term out Barack Obama, we should get all of these people together, and we should unify around a single theme. And we should all push that theme. You know, I lost it. I did. I lost it. I thought, what have I been saying for over a year?
Mm-hmm.
If everybody said fraud, if every time the camera was on, the person smiled and said, this is a fraud, want to know how they did it? If every person who's known to all of us for trying to oust Barack Obama screamed fraud, laughed at the fraud, said, do you believe the audacity of these people? Look what they did in federal court. Can you believe what? Instead of talking about anything else. And this was my response to the comment. I said, I don't care if you hate me. Love, I couldn't care less. I've been saying this forever. Yes, we should unite. Forget about, and I started listing all of the various ploys and plots. And forget about this, and forget about this, and forget about this. It's all about the fraud. That's what you can prove. That those are the laws that were broken. I know people hate to hear this. But the reason that you can't go at this from a constitutional qualification angle is that nobody broke the law in not vetting the candidates. People
That's
hate
right.
to hear they but Kate, they hate to hear that.
But let me just interject here just a little bit, because at the Continental Congress we had a chance to talk about not election fraud. Me, I raised this issue, but basically JBJD is right. The diversions of going after the constitutional eligibility, there was nothing we could do. What we decided at the Continental Congress is nobody was responsible. Nobody was responsible. So nobody could be held accountable. Anyway, but as you know, my perspective, JBJD, there was so much going on. So somebody knew about the fraud, as you talked about. You're the one who lasered in on it. And yes, it was. I know it was difficult for me to hear that from you. I remember that.
I remember
doing the tantrum on your big blog site saying, ah, but it's true. So it really is a matter in you know, of kind of beginning to separate these issues and also
exactly.
stepping
and I'm not,
back and looking at perspective.
Yes, but that's why, and sometimes I'm short about it because I don't have time to allay your concerns. We need to get to the heart of the matter.
Correct.
So, and I see something that the fraud really bothered me. The fraud bugged the blank out of me. How dare you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But one of the things that I can do very well, and it's just a skill I have, is I can get to the heart of the matter. So that when I say, no, but that doesn't matter, I don't mean it's not important whether the man is a natural born citizen. I don't mean that at all.
That's correct.
I mean addressing that aspect of the issue is not going to address getting him out of the White House. So if your ultimate goal is establishing whether he was qualified and honestly got in, then going after whether he's a natural born citizen isn't going to do that. Now, it sounds counterintuitive in some ways. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
But I already knew by the convention, I knew that no provision of any law requires vetting. That includes the Constitution. So you can't go at it by saying that somebody has to vet. That's not the way to do it. And before, as you know now, and you didn't know it was me before, but you know it's me now, I'm the one who came up with the idea to challenge him on the ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up on TD's blog because Judah Benjamin put it on the blog. And then I went after him and said, I came up with this great epiphany at 3 in the morning, and it was mine for 5 hours lead time, and now it's gone. You took it. And he's, oh, I'm sorry. But the point is, that I knew then they're going to do it. They're going to steal the. I knew they were going to do it because mm-hmm. there was nothing. There was no barrier to stop them, unless we could keep them off of the ballot. Okay, so that's why I'm not saying that the constitutional issues weren't important. I'm mm-hmm. saying that considering those constitutional issues wouldn't accomplish the goal, which was to determine whether he was qualified to be in office and whether we could get him out if he's not. You see, and the other thing is, and people, oh my God, I got yelled at, Kate. People were so down on me. There's no legal definition of natural born citizen. Don't hit, don't throw.
And let me interject here again with regard to the Continental Congress. We built a very solid basis for a particular request that we're going to make, and just what you said, and it was just very calmly the entire body understood this. Nobody was responsible, so our Congress is going to try to change that. Anyway, please go ahead now.
I hear you. And mm-hmm. I just want to point out that some of those same people were the people who were coming down on me.
Yep.
For coming to that realization now a full year plus before they did. Do you see?
It's been a long time for all of us, but also I have to say that the incredible tactics that were used to divert everybody's attention, including on this eligibility issue, because it is so significant, of course we'd go after it. But we can't get after it. And by the time we figured it out, it's too late. So please go ahead and continue.
And we don't know who on the Internet was steering the conversation that way anyway.
That's correct. I believe there are a lot of provocateurs out there.
And what I found interesting, and this is just an interesting thing, a lot of different people have criticized me or my attitude or my approach, personal stuff like Sarah Palin kind of stuff, but they haven't been able to take apart the work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So that's interesting to me. So I think whoever was the provocateur couldn't rip apart the work, which must have made somebody very frustrated. But let me just say one more thing, and it's been on my blog, so you know everything's out there in the open. I said that there's no legal definition of natural born citizen. Now, there are two separate categories when we're talking about natural born citizen. One is the constitutional definition for the purpose of determining whether a candidate is qualified for the office. Okay? But the other part of natural born citizen is if being a natural born citizen is a qualification for office to get on the ballot, then you have to establish somebody as a natural born citizen, not to determine whether he or she is qualified to be president, but just qualified to be on the ballot. Do you see? Theoretically, what you end up with this, and this is an important distinction, if people get this, then they get everything I'm doing. Let's say, and I don't know what you did at the Continental Congress, but let's just say there are a lot of people who have been contacting me, and they say, well, I'm talking with my legislator about changing the law because we don't want this to happen again, so we want to make sure that the only candidates on our ballots are qualified for the job. So for president, that means natural born citizen. So they say, so we're going to use this definition or that definition or Vattel's definition or whatever. And you know what? That's the silliest thing because we're not talking about establishing the legal definition of natural born citizen for the purpose of defining the constitutional requirement. Only a federal court can do that. We can't do that. We are in the business of deciding who gets to be on our state ballots.
Mm-hmm. That's where we went, the Continental Congress. That's where we're going.
Well, mm-hmm. I happen to agree with that tax since I originated it. So, and I did because from Justin Riggs on down, they've contacted me before they published, let's say, okay? And I told them what to do. The only problem you have when you are a citizen and you're trying to decide how to form your state ballot, right? The only problem you have is deciding who gets to use my ballot. If you decide that somebody doesn't get to use your ballot, as long as you don't exclude that person for an illegal reason, then you're not depriving anybody of any right. That person still has the right to run for office. For example, let's say the Democratic Party wants to nominate Barack Obama for president. Let's say they break all their rules to do it. They rig the caucuses. Let's say they do everything that we've been talking about, okay? And they make Barack they eliminate a floor vote on the convention so they can hide the pledged delegates for Hillary Clinton from the vote-binding states. Let's say they do all of those things, and they make Barack Obama their nominee. Well, they're a political party, private club. They can do whatever they want. Well, guess what? To get on my state ballot, you have to, and I'm just going to throw something out there, okay? You have to submit your paperwork to a panel. We'll call it a presidential vetting panel. You have to submit your paperwork to them that proves both of your parents, say, were American citizens at the time of your birth, that you were born on American soil, that you lived here for 14 years, that you're at least 35 years of age. Let's say that we decide that that's what our vetting panel is going to review, okay? And we say if you want to get onto our state ballot, you must submit your paperwork to our vetting panel. Let's say a candidate doesn't want to submit the paperwork to the vetting panel. Does that mean that person still can't be the nominee of the party? Absolutely not. Of course not. But that name's not going on our state ballot.
Yep. Very simple and elegant, but yet very tedious.
Very simple. We're not depriving anybody of First Amendment freedom of speech rights or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can be the nominee for that party, but we're all going to know that you refuse to submit to our vetting panel. Case closed. Now, the problem is that citizens in the states enacted laws that said when we print out our general election ballot, there's not enough room to put the names of every elector. I mean, California, you know, the ballot would be pages and pages long. So in most states, what we said is we will put the name of the party nominee next to the party designation. And the voters will know you're actually voting for the electors for that person. So the only name that goes onto the ballot is the name of the party nominee. Well, what if there's no party nominee next to the D?
Yep.
Interesting, huh?
Yes, so, and oh, please go. Yes.
Yes.
Sorry to keep interrupting.
No, please. It's fascinating stuff, isn't it? So what you'd end up doing is you could still vote for the D. Because, remember, your vote in the general election is never for that person anyway. In some ways, it would make the vote more honest. Now people would realize, wait a minute, I'm not voting for anybody. Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? So in some ways, it would produce a more honest ballot. But here's the thing. Let's say you go to this panel, okay? And this is what I can't wait to happen. Let's say you go to this vetting panel. So you've created this vetting panel, and you're not establishing the qualifications for president because you have no lawful authority to do that. You're just establishing the qualifications to get onto the state ballot. Remember that. So let's say the person does submit paperwork to the vetting panel. And the vetting panel calls in a documents expert, calls in whatever, and vets, determines, okay, you're not eligible to get onto our state ballot. Now, we are not saying that you're not a natural-born citizen. Who knows what a natural-born citizen is? We're saying that according to our qualifications to get onto our ballot, you're not qualified. Now, what can the party do about that? Well, state action, in order to be legal, must at least be rational. So you can do something for a rational reason. You can't do something for an illegal reason. So, for example, you couldn't kick a person off because of gender or sexual orientation or something like that. So you're kicking a person off because you say he's not qualified, right? The party would be livid. Are you kidding? They would be livid. Because another thing about most state laws, besides the fact that we allow the political party to get the candidate's name on the ballot, most states have ballot laws that say if you don't put forward a candidate in that race, then the next time you're not automatically entitled to be on the ballot.
Very good.
So wait a second. So that would open up a whole other can of worms. But let me just say something. What I envision happening, what I hope would happen, because you're not violating anything else. You're not violating due process, equal protection. What I'm hoping will happen is the political party will be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
How dare the state create these vetting panels and tell us whom we can put on the ballot? I'm taking you to court. Hello? Hello, federal court. That's how you get in federal court, for goodness sake. Either you play by our rules or take us to court. Fine. We'll get a definition of natural born citizen that way.
It's really a good way to go. And also, I would like
thing.
To...
It's just funny.
It, because really, the diversion was to try to get us to define natural born citizen and get wrapped up in Vattel versus Blackstone. And who applied?
And it worked. Not only that, but all of it was useless because until there is a case on point, until there is a case, and, you know, if you don't like hearing this, don't listen, but it's how it is. Unless there's a case that directly addresses the issue of what is a natural born citizen.
Well, one case just has this past week.
Hold on one second. Hold on to that one, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So unless a case directly addresses that issue and, in addition, rules on that issue. So it has to have those two things. It has to be a case that's about that, and it has to issue a ruling on that. Because if the case is about that, but it turns out that procedurally the case is infirm and has to be kicked back to the lower court so you don't get a decision, then it doesn't matter that you could have gotten a decision. You need to get the actual decision.
That's
so
right.
when you get that, then you have a definition. But until then, you don't have a definition. But what we do have a definition of is citizen. We already have the court case on what is a citizen, and I keep going back to the fact I have no idea whether he's a citizen. So I can concentrate on that aspect, but the natural born was always going to lose because we don't know what that means. Now, now I'm going to stop talking. I want to hear what you're saying about this law case.
It's the Ankeny case, and I think it was, I think I have the case right here. But it is a lower court case, and it rules that a natural born citizen was anybody born in the United States. And, you know, it fails on a lot of areas, even from a lay person, just because I've read so much. But the way we handled it here, because we believe the same thing, the Continental Congress believes that a few things have to happen until we have what we consider the Supreme Court case.
Hold on a second. Can you give me the name of the case, please?
I'm looking as I'm talking. Until the Supreme Court decides or until the Congress amends the Constitution, there is really, you know, and that's where we went. We couldn't decide it. Yes, the panel, some kind of state-based legislation is going to be necessary. And the other insight I've had, JPJD, while I'm still working on this, finding this, and doing research on the natural born citizen clause while I was here, was it is totally not about just natural born, if you will. It's about national security. That's what Article 2,
you know,
Section 1,
listen,
Clause 5 is.
Yes, everything,
that's,
everything
that's
in the Constitution applying to the executive
is national security.
It's about that.
So basically, this is how they were able to dumb down the issue, is to make it one essentially of the birth certificate and call you a birther, and then get you all upset about that.
Yep.
In the meantime, they had the fraud outlined. So
You got it.
So anyway,
I wanted to go back and say something else. When the Constitution was written, and I think we mentioned this, when they set up the executive branch, it was beautifully addressing what the founders thought would constitute the most loyal executive. Well,
yes.
If the person is born here, the parents are citizens, the person has lived here, and I think we've discussed before, they came up with the 14-year requirement because the shot heard around the world, the beginning of the revolution, the beginning of the Declaration of Independence, the beginning of this country mentally. From that point until the inauguration of George Washington in 1789 was 14 years. That's where they get the 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Constitution wasn't adopted by all the states until just before Washington was inaugurated, so 1788. So technically you could say there wasn't a United States of America until the Constitution was adopted. However, the mindset that was America certainly originated 14 years earlier. And that's why you get the 14-year requirement. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it's
so
all makes sense.
True.
The more you go back to it, the better.
Yeah. So
keep going.
That's why. And the other thing is, concentrating on what is a natural-born citizen is silly, because the courts get to decide that, the federal courts. But the other thing is, we've already discussed that the Constitution doesn't require the Electoral College or the Congress to vet the candidate for constitutional qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I personally couldn't conceive, with all of these questions about qualifications, that nobody was going to vet, nobody was going to object. It really boggles the mind. But I considered, well, would it be worth amending federal laws to say that are the requirements in the Constitution a floor or a ceiling? In other words, is the Constitution telling us the minimum job function of the Electoral College or the maximum? So if it's the minimum and they're only required to meet and vote, then we can make more requirements. We can say, and they have to do this and this and this. But if the Constitution is telling us the ceiling, it says, no, the most they have to do is meet and vote. You don't get to tell them anything else they have to do. Then we can't amend, we can't enact a law that will specify what their functions are besides meeting and voting. So let's say we can't amend. I decided to assume that the Constitution is giving us ceilings just because it makes it easier. Assume the Constitution is saying, no, this is all they have to do, and you can't make them do more than that. So, okay, so I don't have to change any laws to say that the Electoral College has to vet or the Congress has to vet. Okay, fine. I will make sure that the name doesn't get on my ballot, though. You see,
that's where the action is, right there.
It's in the states. It's always been in the states. We didn't see that. How silly.
Right. Yes.
And the electors are only state people. They live in the states and they're friends of the party.
Right.
They're loyal.
And here's another layer, which is the whole Democrat Republican thing. Well, heck, they're both just clubs that can do anything. And I wanted to just ask you a little bit on the club thing. Both how you get that concept across to people so they understand how to look at this issue of election fraud, and secondly, what kind of responses, again, you probably talked about this, but what kind of responses did you have people got from that club when they've asked what information was used to vet Obama?
Well, this is absolutely priceless. Yes, and I want to say something. One of the ways, this is a good trick, and let me pull it up. One of the ways to think of the Democratic National Committee as a private club is to stop referring to them as the DNC.
Uh-huh.
Because you know what their real name is?
Democratic National Committee.
Well, actually, it's even worse than that. Hold on one second. It's a corporation, so it's the right. So DNC is Democratic National
Committee
Service Corporation.
Ah.
It's a corporation. So don't think of it as some kind of like civic kind of organization. It's a corporation.
A corporation.
And like the Senate committee, there are all these different committees, but they're corporations. They set up these corporations to get money to sponsor their candidates. So they're just corporations. They're like Goldman Sachs. Think of them as Goldman Sachs. Would that help you to realize they're just a private little club?
Mm-hmm. They don't have to tell you nothing.
Because that's the Texas. And they don't have to tell you anything. They're even worse than regular corporations because they're involved in fulfilling functions that we think of as government functions. But they're not. They're a private corporation. And so because they're not a government agency, as former DC General Counsel Joseph Sandler told everybody in writing, we don't have to honor Freedom of Information Act requests because we're not a state agency. Don't you know that? But of course, he wrote this whole thing out, right? He's answering this whole letter and explaining. But the question was, could you please tell us on what documentary basis you determined that Barack Obama was constitutionally qualified to be the president when you signed the certification? Well, couldn't you just answer the question? Because presumably you used something. You based it on something. So couldn't you just answer the question? It wouldn't be like you'd have to think, well, what did we use? You must know what you used. Nancy Pelosi signed the certification. Alice German, who signed the certification, it was the requests that were mailed specifically addressed to her that she handed off to Joseph Sandler that resulted in his letter. So couldn't he just say to her, oh, excuse me, Mr. Mon, secretary of the DNC for the last several years, you co-signed the official DNC certification of nomination for Barack Obama. On what basis did you determine he was constitutionally qualified for the job? And she could have told him, and he could have put that in the letter.
Mm-hmm.
You see? I mean, that's where I say to people, use your common sense. Do not suspend your common sense. Don't try to figure out how, well, she might have had something, but she just didn't tell Joseph Sandler. Don't go there. No, that's stupid. Or the people who said, well, if I were him, I would be so mad I wouldn't tell people. Whom are you kidding? Of course you tell people if you have something, you tell them. Especially when you say, okay, I know you have concerns, I'll tell you, and then you post something. Then believe them that that's the best they have. But people were making too many excuses. But so Joseph Sandler, yes, former DNC general counsel, said, I'm not going to tell you. I don't have to. Now, as we mentioned, though, in Texas, I also wanted to mention South Carolina tonight. In Texas, we mentioned that Texas state laws apply to the political parties in certain regards. And one of those regards is if the Texas state law requires the party to keep a record or provide a record, then those papers, those documents are discoverable under Texas's, what we think of as freedom of information laws.
Mm-hmm. Do most states have freedom of information laws?
Oh, yes. I haven't seen a state that doesn't, but the difference is they apply to state agencies.
Mm-hmm.
They're like sunshine laws.
Mm-hmm.
But in Texas, they also apply to political parties. So I haven't gotten on this yet. I need to recruit people from Texas to do this. But people from Texas are going to have to file document requests to the DNC. To Boyd Ritchie, because Texas law does require the chair of the political party, the chair of the state political party. So Boyd Ritchie is the chair of the Texas State Democratic Party. Texas law does require him to certify that the candidate is qualified. Now, if the law only means you just have to say the person is qualified, well, then obviously you don't need a document for that. But there's no way in hell the law says we need you to certify he's qualified, but you don't have to check he is. Just say he is, right? That's mm-hmm. what I say. The law in that case would be form over function. So you wrote mm-hmm. a law that looks like it means something, but it isn't actually has no function.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's not what the law is about. That's not what lawmaking is about.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably, in order for Boyd Rich to satisfy that law, and I remember it's the chair of a political party who's required by law to do something under Texas law. Those are the kinds of documents that would be discoverable. So, for example, since Boyd Ritchie had to certify that Barack Obama was constitutionally qualified to be president, he had to have something on which he based that certification. He had to have a document. So ask him, do a Freedom of Information request, and get the damn documents. And there aren't any. I love that. So I just haven't, I haven't gotten my Texans. I need to actually do that. But they, you know, but if you heard me on the radio, that's why I was asking for Texas. You know, somewhere along the line, somebody else is going to have to pull some of this weight, because this is just a lot of stuff to have to look
well,
up
you know,
laws. You know.
Yeah. And also, there's some delegates from Texas here too. So I, you know, happy to talk with them.
Chat.
The Continental Congress are here. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for goodness sake! Well, there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, so I'm going to have them, I'm going to give them your website and have them check into the issue and, you know,
and download new Texas complaints that are there.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, the name is DNC Services Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
Think of them as a services corporation.
Oh, by the way, I found the case. It's in Indiana in the Court of Appeals. It was the opinion
No. It's a state case.
November 12th.
It's a state case.
It is. And what we determined here at the Continental Congress that, you know, until the Supreme Court rules on this or the Constitution's amended, you know, there you go. We've got to do something other than try to define the thing because no one's going to take it up. The courts have, you know, not taken it up, but...
but we don't need to. We can define who we want on our ballot.
You can define it yourself at the state level.
That's right.
And that's correct. And that is the beauty of this. That's the beauty of this. So,
yeah, but now, having said all of this, having figured out how to do it, only slightly more than 100 people have downloaded complaints just from the 6 states I have. And I know there are more states. And several of the large groups, and I say large groups, I'm referring to people who are trying to, again, quote-unquote, out Barack Obama. Several of those large groups are still focused on all kinds of ancillary matters.
Mm-hmm.
I was rather gruff in my last posting on my blog, and I said, when people said, well, everyone should get together and whatever, I said, you know what, you're going to have to forget about everything other than the election fraud then. That's what you have to concentrate. Forget about quo warranto. Forget about Social Security numbers. Forget about Hawaiian Department of Health officials. You have to forget all of that. Forget the definition of natural born citizen. People
right.
just aren't willing to, they can't see the forest for the trees. I'm not saying that it's not important that Barack Obama did not write Dreams for My Father. I'm not saying that's not important. It's important for a reason you don't realize, though. It's important because it just shows a pattern of fraud. You see, it doesn't matter whether he wrote the damn book. Who cares?
Right.
Yes, people read the book, and a lot of them decided at that point to support Barack Obama. Yes, it would prove that he lied about Bill Ayers, assuming Bill Ayers. I mean, but what's the most important aspect of the fact that he didn't write the book?
Mm-hmm.
It's the pattern of fraud. It's they set him up. This was all arranged. It makes perfect sense if you look at it that way. The simplest definition or the simplest explanation is usually the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, was that something in the background? That is so
funny. No, well, that's my computer on, and, you know, the
delegates. You just realize you're there live with those people.
Yes. And
that's what you meant.
I'm supposed to be
that.
In a meeting right now, so I'm sort of sitting across the room and looking at what we're doing, and you know we're getting ready to do some civil actions. And speaking of recommending civil actions, I want to ask you, what is the status now? You went through all the work of this developing and understanding this pattern, and then you know beating back, if you will, people who are just saying, no, 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 you can only look at eligibility. That's the only way to get them.
Well, I want to tell you something. Okay? I'm gonna lower the decibel a little bit. I want to tell a cute little story. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this is for my ninth graders. Now, I teach in the inner city. And I teach every subject but languages. I've done physics, chemistry, history. I generally take long-term assignments. I used to actually work as a lawyer for the school department, and then I went into teaching, and I absolutely love teaching. And it gives me time to do other things. So I was in the ninth grade class, and as most of you probably know, ninth graders, freshmen, know everything and challenge you to get them to learn sometimes. Well, I love that. I love that energy. So I decided one day I went in, and it was U.S. history, and it was this stuff. And I decided to call myself a guest lecturer. So I came in, and I wrote on the board, "You will never vote for the President of the United States of America." Oh, my goodness, the kids were indignant. Who the hell am I to tell them that? Okay? It was hysterical. I loved it. I loved it. And it just came to me at the last minute. I thought, I have to engage these kids. So then I started to go through how we, the formation of the Constitution and the executive branch, Article 2 and all this. And the kids were very sharp. So they understood that there are requirements to be the president. And they listed the requirements, and I wrote them on the board. Those are the only three things I wrote on the board besides the topic. So I had these three. So they were prominently displayed. So then we kept talking about, okay, and what did I mean by you never elect a president? And we talked about how we are a constitutional republic, that we appoint electors, and appointing electors has turned into holding a general election to select electors, and then the governor certifies the election, and that's the appointment, on and on. So we get through this whole process, and the kids were really wonderful, and they were engaged. It was really interesting to see ninth graders like this talking about this whole process. And then I looked back at the board, and I said, and says, wait a second. You said in the beginning of this lecture that these are the qualifications to be the president. And then we just went through the whole process of electing the president, and then Congress ratifies the Electoral College vote, or the vote of the electors, because the Constitution doesn't mention Electoral College. And then you get to the point where the Chief Justice swore in the president, now he's the president. Wait a minute, what about these three things? Oh, yeah, it was hysteric. I said, wait a minute. We talked about the convention, and when did anybody check on these three things? So now the kids are looking. They were dumbfounded. I stopped them in their tracks. I said, okay, I said, well, a lot of us were thinking the same thing. A lot of adults who thought we knew how our government was working got to thinking, wait a minute, who checks this? Then I go into, I say, and I explain to them that there's no provision of any law that requires checking. So I go through that, and then I said to them, but we were really concerned because in some states, in order to get on the ballot, and then I went through that whole process, right? So I'm explaining that some states have laws that say that the candidate must be qualified in order to have his or her name printed on the state ballot. So I said, so some of us were really concerned, wait a minute, how did they sign these certifications swearing the person was qualified if nobody was responsible for checking? So we asked. So the kids say, well, whom did you ask? I said, well, who were the people who signed the certifications? All right? Now listen to this. You're going to love this one. So I talk about Nancy Pelosi. Most of the kids obviously had heard of her, and I explained she's the Speaker of the House and third in line of presidential succession. If something happens to the president and the vice president, she's it. And I said, but they gave her a civilian job that summer, and she was the chair of the convention. So then I explained how we actually hand-wrote a letter. And, you know, it's funny, Kate, talking now, I'm thinking, this is actually, this is history. This is really
yes,
history.
Yes, it is.
And I worked with Justin Riggs, and I said, write a letter. Because when I saw the certifications, I said, I want Nancy Pelosi to know that we've noticed the Hawaiian certification. So can you write if you can write a letter, I'll get it hand delivered to her. So that's what we did. That's how that letter got hand delivered to Nancy Pelosi.
Wow. Did you get any response?
No. So I say to the kids that I said, I know she got it because it was hand delivered to her office in the House. I said, but she ignored the letter. And that wasn't the only one she got. That's the one I arranged for. But she got others asking, on what basis did you serve? I said, but she ignored all the requests. So the kids are looking at me because they're not getting it. They're like, wait a minute, what does this mean? What is this guest lecturer telling us? They didn't know how to process this. I said, kids, what does that mean to you? And they looked at me, and you know what they said?
What?
That means she didn't check.
Mm.
That means she didn't check before she swore he was constitutionally qualified. I said, okay. I said, well, that's what some people were thinking. So then we did something else. Now I get to the part where people wrote to Alice Drummond, who was the co-signer on these certifications of nomination, right? So I explained how people wrote to Alice Drummond. And they said, on what basis did you determine whatever? I said, and you know what she did? I said, she didn't answer directly, but she did forward those request information to the general counsel, who's the lawyer for the whole Democratic National Committee Services Corporation, the general counsel of the corporation, Joseph Sandler. Alice Drummond forwarded those requests for information to Joseph Sandler. I said, and in fact, when people wrote to Alice Drummond, I explained to them about a Freedom of Information Act request, public documents request.
Mm-hmm.
I said people were treating the corporation like it was a government agency. They thought maybe this is the way to get documents. I said, and you know what the general counsel Sandler did? The kids were like, what? And I said, well, he answered the letters, but he wouldn't answer the question. He said, well, you know, we're not a government agency, so we don't have to tell you. So the kids gasped. And I said, wait a minute, what do you think that means? Oh, that means they did check, and he's not qualified.
Oh.
You see this? So when Nancy Pelosi ignored the request, the kids thought, oh, she's busted. She swore he was qualified, but she didn't check first. But when Joseph Sandler did write back but didn't tell them, they said, uh-oh, they did check, and he's not qualified. Interesting,
you know, that is just very cool, not only how you teach this, but also that those kids came up with it, because to me, you know, I just wouldn't have made those connections. Thank goodness you did, because that's right. They must have checked.
This is their common sense. They're not sophisticated enough to abandon their common sense. Kids know when they're being bamboozled. You
mm-hmm.
see? And so, and this was fascinating to me because most of the kids I teach are kids of color.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, God bless my son who's black, who can't stand. Oh, my goodness. He can't stand Barack Obama. Well, you know what? He used to like him. And another teacher said to my son, so whom do you want for president? He said, Barack Obama. And the teacher said, well, how come? Josh said, because he's black. The teacher said, wait a minute. But he might not be the best president, the best person. I don't care, he's black. She said, well, wait a minute. His mother was white. He says, I don't care, he looks black. and that was the kid. But one time I said, and that was fine, you know, support anyone you want. for whatever reason you want. And that's how I am with everybody. Just don't force somebody who's not constitutionally qualified on me. That's where I draw the line. But so we don't have a TV anymore because of 2008 election. But when we had it, I'd say, come here, Josh, look, he's on TV, watch him. And he turned to me, I'll never forget, and he says, Mom, he's not saying anything. Oh, my God, he is so my son. And that was it. And then I would show him, I said, now, I want you to watch what happened in the State of the Union. Watch what happened when Hillary Clinton is walking over towards Senator Kennedy. And he says, oh, my, he turned his back on her. So it was hysterical. The time that after the Philadelphia debacle, when Obama was addressing the crowd, I think it was in South Carolina, and he gives her the finger. I didn't say it. Josh is a teenager. He looks at, oh my God, he gave her the finger. So all right. And the latest thing was, it was hysterical. So the latest thing was, I'm telling him about Fort Hood. I said, I want you to watch this. I said, the president has been in a meeting with indigenous peoples at the White House. And several hours ago, he got word that there's been this killing, mass killing at this military base. And he's going to say something about it. So he starts watching, and he gets past the shout-out and the chuckling. And he looks at me, and he says, huh, what did you say this is about? I said, he's going to talk about the soldiers who got killed. He's like, well, then what is he talking? And he got so frustrated because he's very sensitive about those kinds of violence things, you know. But anyway, can I just say, I see Madeline Hart's view. His son is a kid. He's a kid. He's a black kid. And said, I'm voting. I like somebody because he's black. So it's he's not a voter. He's not 18. He's a kid. And he's black, so, yeah, but he doesn't like him anymore because he bothered to find out about him. But I just wanted to clarify that. But anyway, so, yeah, so when the reason I told that anecdote about the kids is because they're absolutely on target. That's how you know you're right. Do you see? Mm-hmm. When the kids naturally give you the expression of their common sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, so that's just one of the things. And you know what another thing is that lets me know I'm so on the right track? Not just because I anticipate something they're going to do. Or, for example, I was telling people in June when Obama put up that website, and this is again, common sense. When he admits that people question whether he's qualified, and he says, here, I'll show you I'm qualified. Believe him. Believe that's the best evidence he has. And it sucked. So I said, that's the best evidence he has. And they're like, no, it must be something else. I said, no, you don't face the country and say, it's 3 months before the nomination, and say, I know you have concerns. Here, I'll allay those concerns and put up anything but your best stuff. This is his best stuff, which we know means absolutely nothing. Okay? What established for me that was true? And people kept saying, no, they have to. And I said, no, that's it. In January of 2009, when they put that stupid footnote, I shouldn't call it stupid, it's brilliant, actually, that footnote in Hollister. When Bob Bauer did that and signed the pleading, and he wrote the book on federal election law. He's the expert. And he says, court, take judicial notice, please, that this podunk group, Annenberg, said my guys for real, not the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives said my guy is constitutionally qualified. No, 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 we're not going to give you one of those original certifications sworn to with the notary public from the Speaker of the House.
Right. Because then it could be entered.
You could look
at
it.
As evidence.
Well,
you could look at it and then query it.
It's like we're not going to submit a newspaper microfiche or whatever. We're not even going to give you the name of the newspaper, but we're going to tell you, we want you to take notice that Annenberg noted there was a contemporaneous birth announcement. When Bob Bauer signed that pleading, which was June to September. So, June to January. So in June, I'm saying, this is the best he has. And in January, Bob Bauer proves that was the best he had. Then what the hell did Nancy Pelosi use? So, the case was done. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But to get people to use their common sense, they were so angry, they thought there has to be something else. I'm like, no, these people did the simplest thing. It's the stupidest thing. It's kind of brilliant in a perverse way, if you want to look at it that way. But at any rate, so those two things, the fact that the kids are reacting that way, and the fact that Bob Bauer fell into my lap, that says...
I've got to ask you a clarification point, because on that issue of that footnote, I think I just learned something different from you right now, which is just always what I do, what happens when I speak with you and when I read your site. But are you saying that, and I know we don't really want to speculate, but are you saying that essentially Bauer did not want anything from Pelosi appearing, so he had to cite the fact check?
Ooh. That's an interesting question, Dr. Kate.
I thought at first that it was stupidity when I first heard you, because why wouldn't he put in that? And then I thought, well...
Because she lied. Those certifications are bogus.
Yeah.
Because she lied.
So would it expose her? I guess that's the issue, is that it would probably have exposed her.
You know what? I'm so glad you asked that. A lot of people, I'm not going to go into this, but everybody knows my work's Taken, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And it made no sense to take it because it's work that I put up for the first time months earlier. I put it up occasionally, and I use it in different ways. And I just referenced the Justin Riggs thing. That was in December of 08, so that's how old that whole, certification of Hawaii and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. A lot of people were very angry. They were presuming facts, not in evidence. They were presuming a fraud could be established on the basis that not every certification read exactly the same.
Oh.
Now, wait. They were assuming they could establish a fraud that way. For example, in Hawaii, the certification explicitly says it has all the constitutional qualifications. Well, a Hawaii state law explicitly says you must explicitly say that. Okay? So they added that in the Hawaii. Okay. Now, in other states, Nancy Pelosi didn't put in that extra qualification, but it didn't matter because it was a distinction without a difference. Yes, the certification looks a little bit different from, say, Virginia to Hawaii, but it doesn't matter. They're both the same thing. They both say he's constitutionally qualified, even though one explicitly says it. It's the same. It's a distinction without a difference.
Okay.
So let's put that aside, right? Plus, in Texas, Boyd Ritchie signed the certification that was submitted to state election officials. All right, but people were they were jumping to conclusions, which is a huge problem. They were assuming that you could establish fraud only based on the fact that the certifications appeared inconsistent. You can't establish fraud that way, because some states have different laws, whatever. However, one of the arguments I heard was this. Look, the Republican certification is consistent in every state, so wouldn't it have been easier? Absolutely, it would have been easier if the Democrats had, again, put in everything they'd need in all the states. Do you see?
Yep.
Even though the law didn't require the explicit words, you could say it would have been easier, but that doesn't prove that they're perpetrating fraud. It could prove that they're sloppy or careless or not great record keepers. So that's not the issue. But here's what I started to see, and this was very interesting to me, and this is where your comment comes in. I am kind of shifting my focus, and I'm saying what you just mentioned about the footnote in Hollister, okay, why wouldn't they submit to a federal court the same document they willingly submitted to state election officials? Interesting, huh?
Yes, it is.
Because the sanctions against attorneys who submit fraudulent documents to a court are very different.
Big time serious, like lose your license type serious.
And not just that, that's the least of it. Because once one of these dominoes falls, they're all gone. Once one thing falls, and they're falling. They're teetering at this point. I'll tell you, so one of the things that I'm doing, and I'm going to digress for a second and I'll get that. One of the things I'm doing is I'm researching in D.C. what the D.C. Code of Professional Conduct is and what fraud is and what honesty to a tribunal is. And looking at the disciplinary cases to hone in on the exact elements that that are required to file a meaty complaint against Bob Bauer, because I cannot conceive, even on its face, that there's anything ethical or moral about submitting a signed pleading to a court asking to take judicial notice of a phantom computer screen image. It defies credulity. And I'm not one who's going to abandon my common sense. I mean, it looks like a fraud, right? And it walks like a fraud, and it sounds like a fraud. It's a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that Bob Bauer, and remember, the standard for him is higher because he wrote the book on election law. You see? So his standard of care is way up here. He knows better. You're damn right he knows better. He did this. Why would you bring in from the cold a guy who's an expert in election law to be the White House counsel? Okay? Why is he there? Not agencies or funding. He's the expert on election law. Because you're going down, and why did Nancy Pelosi not have her documents submitted? Because it's bogus, and Bob Bauer wasn't going to submit to the federal court a bogus document. Why didn't he submit the certification of live birth? Because it's a bogus document. Why did he only ask the court to take judicial notice? Because he was gambling, and he lost, and this is the thing that's going to hang him. If you think these people are so smart, just remember, I'm a teacher, okay? Yes, I have a JD degree, okay. All right? I'm a single parent. I have a great kid. And you know, we rent a little apartment, and we just live our little lives under the radar. And we've had a history. There have been other things in our lives where I've blown the whistle, and it's cost us dearly, dearly, dearly. That's why I know people can do really bad things, but you just have to keep your eyes open and don't assume they wouldn't do it. They'll do it. But don't suspend your common sense. So here's Bob Bauer, just what you said. There's your common sense, Dr. K. Here's Bob Bauer submitting, asking the court to take judicial notice, taking advantage of the fact that here's another one of those lawsuits against my client, taking advantage of it to try to get the court to take judicial notice. That's a sound, zealous advocacy on Attorney Bauer's part.
Mm-hmm.
However, he asked the court to take judicial notice of the wrong thing. Why didn't he ask the court to take judicial notice of Nancy Pelosi's certification of nomination? For goodness sake. If you want to establish your clients for real, use that. He didn't, and that tells you that that's bogus, or he would have used it. Absolutely, absolutely.
That even points to more fraud. Absolutely more fraud.
Well, that's why when you go back and look at it now, that makes more sense why in some places, and they were so sneaky. Excuse me if I sound like I'm not my typical, you know, just the back of him. I'm going to tell you something. When I first saw that Hawaiian certification of nomination, I said they fudged it. The certification got to Hawaii State Party, and they realized they need that extra line in there or something, and they fudged it. Even the signatures, I said maybe they tried to erase it and do their own cert. I don't know what they did, but there's something wrong with it. And it took me like 5 calls to Justin Riggs. Not calls, but, you know, contacts. And I say, contact them again. There's no date stamp on this certification. And he said, well, no, it's there. I said, no, it's not there. It's on the Republican. It's not. There's something wrong with this certification. It's missing the date stamp. How do they know how it was delivered to them? I kept saying, go back to them, you know. Because there was something very wrong. But we didn't mention it at the time. So we wrote the letter to Nancy Pelosi, and we didn't mention the signature, but I wanted him to attach the certification so she could see that now we've seen that there's something funny about this. I would have loved, can you imagine, Kate, I would have loved to have seen her face when she got that hand delivery of that certification from Hawaii with the fudge signature. So now she knows people have noticed. I'm sure she never in her wildest dreams, these people never in their wildest dreams imagine that someone's going to post the Arizona, Obama's application to get on the Arizona presidential preference primary. And that somebody's going to say, wait a minute, he scores a natural born citizen, but wait a minute, he just posted a call and he says, I'm a native. They never anticipated that anybody's going to catch that, do you see? And start screaming about it. Okay? And I was screaming. Those are the things that jump out at me that I said in the first show. I said, I don't know how I'm going to use this, but this is important. I'll use it at some point. It's important. But it's like when I asked, when I was panicking because I saw, I was on No Quarter and I saw this Google ad that said, questions about Obama's, whatever, go see Frank the Spears. And I thought, oh my God, they're still running those ads. I didn't know how to say it, and I was panicking. So I was posting over, help me, and somebody grabbed it and sent it to me. Oh, thank you. So, and I used that in the complaint. That's how I know they're still using it because they're running ads. So that's still the best evidence they have. But at any rate, what you said is important, and I need to emphasize that in a posting. That's very important, that he didn't use Nancy Pelosi's because Nancy Pelosi's is bogus. Her certification is bogus. And that's actually, that would be considered evidence of the fact that it is bogus. Not the fact that her certification was different in different states, but the fact that he didn't submit it.
Mm-hmm.
That's evidence that it's fraud. Why wouldn't you submit it? You
Boy.
See? Yeah, so that
and,
kind of,
and they never anticipated somebody like you or any of us who could still so be so preoccupied by this, we finally found it. And I have
not
to tell
let it
you,
go.
When I finally got it,
yeah.
I felt relief. I felt relief,
exactly.
Even though I know we've still got a lot of way to go, because it very clearly clued me into, you know what, we can control this. You know, from your ideas,
you.
We can control this at the state level. We can do it that way. And, you know.
But that brings us to the other thing I wanted to say about the certifications, and then I want to go back to the state stuff. So in Texas, one of the things people can do, besides, you know, they really need to download those Texas complaints. They need to download them because the Texas officials are screwing around with people. One of them tried to tell somebody who contacted them, oh, well, these are federal issues, whatever, whatever. No, they are not. They are state. And thank God, I have to give credit to my readers, because
mm-hmm.
they know now. They know exactly what's going to be thrown at them, and they know what to say. They understand what they're doing. When they send in those complaints, they put their names on them. I said, don't send them in unless you understand what you're doing. Read them and understand them. If you have any questions, come back to me. Because once you empower that citizen, that's an empowered citizen. I don't need to do anything else now. You have questions, you'll come to me, but nobody needs to tell you what to do now. You know what to do. And the only reason you didn't do before is because you didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because you weren't interested or didn't want to change. It's just you didn't know what to do. And that's what prevented so many of us from doing something. We didn't know what to do. And when I couldn't find somebody else who knew what to do, I had to figure out what to do. Nobody can know more than me about how to run my life. That's a very dangerous situation. I say to the kids, if you don't learn this stuff, then anyone who knows more than you has power over you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people can have power over you anyway, but don't give away your power.
That's right.
But anyway, so in Texas, I do want people to file those complaints, but I also want them to keep pressuring their attorney general, for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what they're doing with these complaints. And start submitting the request to Boyd Ritchie for the documents, because the Texas law says you certify that the person's qualified. You better have based it on some documents that are discoverable, or you're going to have to tell us there are no documents. Go ahead and make the argument, Boyd Ritchie, I dare you, that number one, you're not required to produce any documents. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm asking you on what basis you certified the man's constitutionally qualified, and you come back to me and say, I'm not required by law to tell you. What do you think that's going to say? Don't you love that one, Dr. Case?
I do. I mean, my God.
Let him come back and say, like Joseph Sandler said, well, I'm not required. Okay. I can't wait. So damn if you do, damn if you don't. You sign the damn certification. There had to have been some basis for your signing it. Okay, so that's in Texas. There's a lot of stuff there. But let me go back to Nancy Pelosi signing things and South Carolina. I love South Carolina. Well, because you know what they did in South Carolina? I know that some people who read my blog haven't read the complaint from every state because it didn't apply to them, and they don't realize how different every state complaint is, even though I've written
mm-hmm.
a couple of blogs about South Carolina. But here's the real nasty, tricky stuff. Carol Fowler becomes chair of the state Democratic Party in June of 2007, I believe it was. It doesn't matter the date. What's important is that a month before she became the state chair, because I looked this up because these are the things that jump out at me. A month before she becomes the state chair, that law goes into effect. Okay? So you know she knows all about that law. Right? So how come a few months later when she submits the names of the people who are in the Democratic primary, she says, here are the names of the people in the primary, and she sends the treasurer, Kathy Hensley, over to the Board of Elections in South Carolina, only she hasn't put on that form what's required by state law, this brand new state law that everybody knows about, that says they're constitutionally qualified for the job. So
she
the Board of Elections
doesn't put it in there?
No, it's not in there. No. So wait. So she's typed this nice little memo, here are our nominees, we want them on the presidential preference primary ballot in South Carolina. She sends us she sends the treasurer over to drop it off to the Board of Elections. And the Board of Elections says, no. Hold it a minute. Where does it say they're qualified to get on the ballot? That's the law.
Mm-hmm.
So Kathy Hensley handwrites it. These people are constitutionally qualified, and the warning in the law says they're constitutionally qualified, or it says they're qualified for the office they seek or will be qualified by the time of the election. Well, obviously, you're either natural born or you're not, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So Kathy Hensley handwrites that. So think of what we have now, right? I don't even know if under the Democratic State Party rules in South Carolina, the treasurer is authorized to validate candidates. I don't even, but it doesn't, you see what I mean, how extreme this gets? But
mm-hmm.
let's assume that Kathy Hensley was authorized to do this, okay? And they saw her do it. She did it right in the office. And one of my wonderful readers checked up on this. She found this, and she said, what do I do? And I said, this is what you do. Contact us, you know what I mean? I walked them through it. And she got all this wonderful information, and that's what I posted. So now, Carol Fowler, right, wife of Dawn Fowler, who used to be the DNC chair,
mm-hmm.
right? So
mm-hmm.
they know what they're doing. She's never certified that Barack Obama is constitutionally qualified for the job. Now, fast forward to 2 weeks before the convention. Now, Carol Fowler issues another letter. And this letter is certifying the down-ticket Democrats who will be on the ballot, okay? Representatives, senators, that kind of stuff, okay? So she certifies the down-ticket people. So she still doesn't certify Barack Obama. It's 2 weeks before the convention, right? So she's never certified him. The treasurer has, but of the state party, Kathy Hensley, who since is not the treasurer anymore, but Carol Fowler has never gotten her hands dirty, right? Now, there's the nomination, and Barack Obama is the nominee. Guess who sends in Nancy Pelosi's certification of nomination? Joseph Sandler, the general counsel.
Mm-hmm.
So, Carol Fowler in South Carolina has not certified anything. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Because why would they? They know better. They know better. So that gets very fishy to me. You see?
Yep.
So yes, you could say, excuse me, yes, I am saying that the fact that the certifications of nomination appear to be inconsistent, I'm saying that's not necessarily indicative that there's a fraud going on here.
That's
but when
great.
you know what went on here, then it looks like fraud.
Yep.
When
and,
you know
I think
sorry,
go ahead.
No, and when you know that Nancy Pelosi's certification wasn't submitted to a federal court, that's indicative of fraud.
Yep.
See? And so that's a simple, this is the greatest fraud case. And any attorney general, and this is now back to what you said, somebody else asked me that question, so what's happening with the fraud complaints? Well, somebody said, D2I said that she hasn't heard anything, that there's nothing going on. And the question was directed to me. So what's going on with the attorneys general? I said, go ask them. Camp out in their offices. Bring a dozen of your friends who file complaints and ask them what's going on. This isn't about me. I don't live in your state. Go to your own states.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who are in states where you don't know if you have a law that says the candidate has to be qualified, why don't you know this by now? Look it up. It's your state law. If you can't get your state to redress the problems with the past election, you know they're just going to steal the next one. Who cares? The fact that you might understand what happened, but you're still not willing to do anything about it, tells the people who would steal your election you're not going to stop them. In those states where you know that you don't have those applicable laws, so what? Download the complaints, walk into your official offices, and show them that this Democratic Party perpetrated a fraud. Are we to assume because they perpetrated a fraud in Hawaii, they didn't perpetrate a fraud in, say, Nevada that doesn't have one of those laws? They do all kinds of frauds. People say, well, but my attorney general is Democrat. You know what? I don't give a damn what party somebody belongs to. That doesn't mean that person isn't holding a constitutional office in your state. That person can't ignore you because you're asking him or her to question his or her party. And as a totally separate issue, I would love to get the attorneys general in the vote-binding states to ask their pledged delegates, or if I had the people power, I would get people to look up the names of the pledged delegates in the vote-binding states, and I would survey them and say, at what point during the convention were you asked what your vote was going to be? And did you change your vote because whatever. And did you know that Hillary Clinton had released delegates at what point? You know, those kinds of questions
mm-hmm.
to find
mm-hmm.
out. Because we still don't know that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The attorneys general are the chief law enforcement officials of the state. If you can't get them to enforce the laws, then I don't really get what it is you expect to accomplish. I've shown you what to do and how to do it, but you actually need to do it. So that's about the where we go from here thing. Only 100-plus complaints. I said in one of my comments, I told you, Kate, I took a temper tantrum. And
mm-hmm.
I just seen something on the one of the videos on the Internet about Michelle Bachmann. She said, we have 5 feet of these pink slips. I'm a citizen, and I don't want you to pass this. And pink slip to this and pink slip to And Joseph Farah from World Net Daily, in my mind, he's not credible. But he got on the video, and they're making a big deal about these pink slips. And I'm thinking, for God's sake, they're talking hundreds of thousands of pink slips, and they're getting a press conference.
Yeah, and we can't get the biggest fraud in history,
you better,
even beyond
you better.
YouTube.
You better. I have 100 plus downloads of the complaints. I wouldn't be surprised if some of those are from the DNC. I'll tell you that right now. Just a feeling I get, because I get these clicks to my blog, and you can't tell where they came from.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ashley, you know, as we're chatting tonight, you know, it's easy for me to see various IP addresses, and it's pretty easy to understand that there's some government folks listening in. So welcome to the show. I'm glad you're listening. Now, okay, we have about 5 minutes left. Can you believe it? It always goes so fast with you, JVJD.
Oh, my God.
Terrific.
I can't believe this. Oh, I didn't even look at the time. And you know what? And I had printed out this little thing. I think we covered everything, but I didn't get to do the questions again.
We've had a lot of people here. People have been listening, so, you know, there are folks there, but I have not seen any calls coming into the switchboard. So one of the things
people
we'll do
always
is,
comment afterwards. I've seen a lot of comments after, and they say,
yeah.
Oh, my God, I couldn't stop listening, so I wasn't chatting or I wasn't calling in. I couldn't stop listening, you know, so that's fine. I hope people understand a lot more of how our government works now.
Well,
this was all
we do,
fraud.
But
this,
you know,
that's my bottom line, Kate. This was all a fraud. This was set up in advance. Write the book. Do this. This was all a setup. The guy is a total nothing. It's the people who wanted him in power who are the people behind the throne. Please, and I'm engrossed in all of the tapes about the bailout and all this. I'm becoming an economics expert. Please, this is crazy. Why should I have to do this now? Because I don't want them to know any more than I do at this point. So this is all a fraud. Don't concentrate on it. This is all a fraud. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They stole the general election. They did. They put in somebody they wanted. Barack Obama is not the focus. I don't focus on him. He's nothing. He could have been anybody.
Really? And, you know, I have to tell you, our Continental Congress is not focusing on him either.
Oh, wonderful. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And I kept saying,
no, because we're focusing on the state actions. We're focusing on the state actions.
That's where the
action
is.
What can be done. And just like you said, and the Congress adopted a resolution yesterday that basically would ask the states, or direct the states, instruct them to develop legislation because, you know, bottom line is, no matter how we get at this individual, the issue of Article 2 is national security, so let's put it over there. But you have got the biggest case in the world here right now. And I really do hope people have listened. And we've had close to 2,000 downloads since I started the show and since you've been on, which is terrific. And
wow.
It's very good. And to all the listeners, we've got 2 minutes left. I'm not going to do a show for another week. I'll do one week after next to report on the Continental Congress. But JB, JD, I'm going to have to ask you to come back. I hope you don't mind, because
there is more to go. Yeah, by then
more
I'll have worked on the Texas obtaining information, and this stuff, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. We got about a few seconds, so I'm just going to start our music.
Thank
you, thank
you
very much.
If people have questions, they should come to the blog if they have questions, I guess.
Thank you so much, JD.
Oh, hey, this was so
JD.
Fast.
Too fast.
Welcome. It was so
thank
fast.
You, thank you.
All right, honey, good night.
There's something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. being wrong. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man comes.